Good noon. It's Tuesday. It's not Bill Buckmaster. It's Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Bill and his lovely bride, Anne, are up in the White Mountains enjoying cooler weather, I hope, than we're having here. But there's some prospect for better weather ahead. What I can tell you is that as we are broadcasting today from the Green Things and Socolo Village studio, I am very honored to have as my guest for the whole hour the former mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, who will be with us and answering questions and really talking about what it was like to be mayor, what it's like not to be mayor anymore, and we will also, because this is what we do on talk radio, if you'd like to call in, the number, of course, is 520-790-2040. And the Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. So we'll get right to it. Mr. Mayor, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Shelley. I appreciate you asking me to be on.
I just... You know, the idea of having you for you know, debriefing the former mayor of a major city is just like, you know, more than I could resist.
Okay.
So you're not the mayor anymore.
Nope.
You're in private, in the private sector.
Yeah.
So you're back at a law firm.
I am. When I went through the thought process of whether I wanted to serve a third term, a lot went into that thought process, looking at third-term mayors across the country and talking to different mayors. But one of the things was that I really did want to go back while I still had what I consider my youth.
Sure.
And work with my two sons who are practicing law now. So that's one of the things I'm doing. And that's turning out to be a real joy. To be around them every day and watch them grow as lawyers and as people. I couldn't ask for more.
Okay, well, so they're in the same law firm with you.
Yep.
And when did you decide to be a lawyer?
pretty late in the academic game. So my father was an attorney, and when you grow up with an attorney, sometimes if you're a contrary sort, you decide early on that that's not what you're going to be. And so I had no interest in being a lawyer all through college. I did study philosophy, some political science, a lot of English, theater, which probably should have suspicioned me that I would end up a lawyer. But when I got out of college, I really, like a lot of people, didn't really have a sense of where I want, what I wanted to do. But I did have a sense that I wanted to come back to, I graduated from a place called Kenyon College in Ohio.
Okay.
And I had a sense I wanted to come back to Tucson.
So were you born here and raised here?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm a
You're the one.
I was born in 1955.
Okay.
And when I was born, there were probably 50,000 people in Tucson. So I'm thinking by 2020, I must be the oldest living native, you know, but I'm not by any means. No. There's a whole lot of us. But anyway, when I came back here, I had no sense of what I wanted to do other than I wanted to be here. I was playing racquetball at the Tucson Athletic Club with Conrad Joyner, who, if you remember Conrad, he was on the Board of Supervisors. And he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said I didn't know. And he said, come down to my office. And the next thing I know, I was working it for the county, actually, for what was the then called Correctional Volunteer Center. It's now the Pretrial Release Center. And my job was to go every day to the county jail, write up reports on the people who had been arrested the night before, and take them to the court to see whether those people ought to be released or not.
Well, you can't make any money doing that.
Well, no, but in 1977, the cost of living was less.
Okay.
But anyway, that was kind of what first got my interest. You know, I was going to be a justice crusader. And so I applied to law school and went to the University of New Mexico Law School. And basically intended throughout law school and focused a lot on criminal law and criminal defense work. And then I came out and clerked in the federal court for about a year and a half.
Here in Tucson.
Yeah, yeah. And then I went into the private practice of law and I started doing criminal cases. And I came to find out that when you were defending cases, The system was not exactly, when I went to law school and was working in the system, it was a time when judges had full discretion about sentencing, okay? You know, regardless of the charge you get from probation to, you know, life or whatever.
So there were no guidelines that they had
No guidelines. And that wasn't working out so well. So in that course of time when I went to law school in Arizona, they put in very strict guidelines with mandatory sentencing and stacking. And when I came back, I found a completely different system that essentially put the prosecutor in real control. And I didn't like those choices that I was having to make. So I decided to do other practices. And, okay. And for a long time, I did everything. I mean, I did divorce cases. I did personal injury cases. We defended the city of Tucson and a lot of municipalities around the state. Ultimately, I ended up becoming an estate planning lawyer and a corporate lawyer and doing business transactions. And I did that probably for the last 15 years before I hopped on to being mayor.
Okay. And what kind of practice are you doing now? I mean, where do you...
Yeah, so that's what I've come back to. I should, might as well... The firm will probably be upset if I don't put in at least one plug, you know, at Mesh, Clark & Rothschild. And I do principally business work, business transactions, estate planning, and the like. And it's an interesting time, you know, with COVID. Watching businesses try to stay viable, and some you see being very successful and others really struggling, and then the whole thing we went through with PPP money and
sure.
and we'll see what's next, but it's an interesting time to be in that field, to be certain.
So in terms of your background as an attorney and as a principal in a law firm, is Tucson a good place to do business?
You know, I think so. I think you need to be in, you know, what I like, once I became mayor, one of the things I really liked to do was to, whenever I went on vacation or went, you know, on business trips to other cities, I loved reading the local news, you know, the local politics, because it always made me feel better about Tucson. The problems that we have in Tucson are similar, not always the same, but similar to the problems that every city has. And so I would say, at least in my experience, Tucson has been a good place to do business. Certainly our law firm, which has now been 60 years and has thrived and been successful, you know, but like any business person, you really need to do a little research and study and maybe get a little help before you dive into things, or else things can get difficult.
If you were to characterize what differentiates Tucson, or how the people are different, or how decision-making might be a little bit different in Tucson from some of the other places you've either visited or worked in, could you sum it up in a, you know, the next 35 or 40 minutes?
35 or 40 seconds. First of all, one of the things that I think we all love about Tucson is people are really friendly here.
Mm-hmm.
People really do go out of their way for each other. There's a vibe here that we want to keep. I want to call it, and this is so kind of passe, but you know, the biggest small town in America type feeling. You know, there's part of that that you want to keep. There's another part of it that you need to build past. And you do need to have a sense as a community that in order to be successful, you need to continue to grow. And that those growth pains, I guess I'll call them, always come with opposition.
Sure.
And so at that level, people need to, one, the people that want to grow need to understand that wherever they go, they're going to see some of that. And then the people that are making the decisions need to keep their eye on that ball, that ultimately we need to get to yes. And How you get there can sometimes be a struggle, but it's important that you get there, and that's how you keep a community strong. And we could talk about, you're right, 35 or 45 minutes, why that central tenet is so important to everything we try to do in the community.
I'd like to kind of key in on this idea of getting to yes. I'd like to just let everybody know that this is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and my guest for the full hour is his honor, the former mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. And we'll be back after we take a quick break. I should mention that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grand County. Time to start your planning to Silver City so you're ready when New Mexico reopens for out-of-state visitors. It's not open right now. It's only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, and there's a lot to do in Silver City and Grand County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous cliff dwellings. The best thing to do is to visit their website at southwestnewmexico.org, see what's there to do, and see what their status is in terms of welcoming visitors from out of state. We'll take a break and be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Well, it's time to get back to our full hour with His Honor, Mayor Jonathan Rothschild here in Tucson. I'm Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's up in the White Mountains having much too good a time. It's, you know, the markets normally on Tuesday, I'm doing the financial segment here. The markets are taking care of themselves today, so we don't have to worry about them. It's Tuesday and the markets are up anyway. So we can really focus in on really debriefing a former mayor of a major city. Who gets to do that? Well, I do, and we're here with His Honor Mayor Rothschild. We have a caller, actually, to kick off this segment of the show. Jessica, you have a question for the mayor.
Yes, so I am a registered Republican, and while I did not always see eye to eye with Mayor Rothschild at the time, I do want to ask him how he feels about the current mayor putting us on a national level with national issues, because I don't believe that her focus is here in Tucson, which he did. It was all about Tucson and not national issues.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any question first that Mayor Romero and I have different styles and potentially different emphasis. My focus was very much local. I would get calls sometimes from national outlets, and I generally said, I'm not interested. But that was me, and Mayor Romero's style is different. I can tell you across the country, mayors tend to fall in one of those two categories. There are mayors who say, I'm going to be just local, and there are mayors who say, no, it's important that as from my platform that I take on national issues. So that's just going to happen. I think the real time that we're going to have to judge going forward, and I'm sure Mayor Romero's feeling the same way, is how we're going to come out of COVID and what are the decisions that are going to be made because as hard as we're trying, we are having across the country everywhere, but a damaged economy. Mm. And so we'll see what steps are taken then. And I think that's when we judge.
And when the world won't leave you alone, I guess you just have to deal with it.
Yeah, you do. You do. And that's just decisions that you make.
Jessica, thanks for the question. That's a great question. And I'm glad that we were able to allow the mayor to kind of just opine on that. I was determined in this segment not to talk about the current mayor, but to really kind of review what has gone on and what is currently going on in Jonathan Rothschild's life.
Yeah.
When we ended the last segment, we talked about getting to yes.
Yeah.
And how you were able to really kind of bring in business and in an environment where, you know, this is a funny city. You just have so many people who don't want it to grow, who want it to be kind of the old Pueblo, and then so many people who say, no, it has to grow. And that's really the only way we can raise people up from positions of either being in poverty or not having the opportunity that we expect people in this country to have. So how do you get to yes? How do you deal with companies when they say, you know, I kind of like it down in Tucson, but I'm not so sure?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of elbow grease. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of frustration. It's also having to bring the partners together from around the community, whether that's the county, the university, Sun Corridor, Pima College. You have to bring all your assets to bear. Sometimes it's the state of Arizona. Sometimes it's the utility company, TEP. So having that coordination and having that ready to go is really important. And then it's simply a question of working hard. And you're right. Generally, what you'll find is that executives very much like Tucson, want to be here, maybe have a winter place here, and they are wanting to come to Tucson. But the desire to come to Tucson is not nearly enough. These people are always thinking about, is this going to work for my business? Will my business succeed if I come to Tucson? And sometimes you've got to um, uh, give incentives and make it possible. And they're good negotiators too.
That's what they do for a living.
That's what they do for a living, is make it possible for them to come here. And if you go away from that approach, it will be harder to get businesses to come. And that's a lot of hard work, and you have to stay on that pedal all the time.
Can you maybe relate some stories and the difference between negotiating with, say, the governor's office and negotiating with the CEO of a company that's looking to build a large, a large regional headquarters somewhere else in the country? How do those elements differ?
Well, the governor, so there's a couple things about mayors and governors. If they're in the same political party, obviously that's a lot easier to work with because they know each other, they see each other all the time, they're generally supporting similar candidates. But if they're in separate political parties or different political parties, and that was always my case, I had first Governor Brewer and then Governor Ducey, you set that aside. And because the governor very much wants to see statewide success, and it doesn't matter who the governor is. And so a governor who is business oriented, and Governor Ducey, I think, prides himself coming from that kind of background, he will work with the mayors. It doesn't matter if it was Mayor Stanton, who was a Democrat in Phoenix, or Mayor Mitchell, who was a Democrat in Tempe, or myself and the Democratic mayor in Flagstaff, wherever that may be, because he wants that success. Now, a governor also gets pressured by, most of the people live in Phoenix. And so if there's a competition between Phoenix and Tucson, it is harder work to get any governor, at least governors, we haven't had a governor from Tucson, I don't think, since 1964, to get the governors to be conscious of the fact that they need to take the work out of the Phoenix metropolitan area. One of the things that I talked to Governor Ducey about was, on a moderately regular basis, was a state can't be successful when it only has one major city. A state needs to be diverse in its where it puts its businesses, and it helps with logistics, it helps with all sorts of things. So in that sense, a governor is easy to deal with. When you're dealing with the CEO of a major company, you have to see why they want to be here. You have to put it right on the table what their concerns are, and sometimes you can't meet those concerns. I remember when we were dealing, Tesla, and then, where we actually got into the final three.
For the battery plant.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I don't think anybody thought we had it shot at, and I was still new enough at it that it was like, no, we should try, And then ultimately what Nevada did for them was they had a governor, and so when you get to that big level, it's a state, it really takes a state effort, not just a municipal effort. But, when I saw what Nevada did and the governor went into special session and passed a whole series of incentives, and when I looked at the price tag, I said, God, I wonder if we deeded the state to him, if that was enough. so you get into those things, but most people aren't like that. Most people are looking, and the city of Tucson has created some good incentives that they're willing to use. The GPLAT is a good incentive. Site-specific sales tax rebates are a good incentive. So there's things we can do. And then there's always the process of how you get through, if it's a zoning process or a permit process, but that's more internal. And what a mayor can do there is just work with the departments to see that they proceed in a reasonably quick fashion.
Are there some quid pro quos when you're dealing with corporations that say, look, we're going to give you this break, that break, and the other thing, we're going to do a whole bunch of things for you, but we want you to do some things for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're seeing now with this current council, I think that's more their emphasis. And part of it's the negotiating position that you're in. When I came in as the mayor in 2011, we were pretty down on our luck. We didn't have a lot to negotiate with in the sense of asking corporations to do things. We built this up where I think we were in a better position. Now the question's going to be going forward, are we still in that position? But certainly you can say, look, we will give you this benefit, but for that benefit, you have to provide health insurance to your employees. You have to hire, then the state gets involved sometimes too. We like to see local hiring if that's possible. We need you to do these things environmentally. And yes, you can definitely negotiate benefits for a community when you're willing to give something back.
Mr. Mayor, we're going to take another break.
Okay.
What I'd like to get back to when we come back in our third segment is talking a little bit more about the stakeholders that businesses have and need to deal with, and some of the changes in priorities that we're hopefully beginning to see when businesses have to look at more than just the bottom line, but being a good neighbor, being a good resident of wherever they are and with whomever they may be doing business. The Buckmaster Show, and this is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, just reiterating that we have former Mayor Jonathan Rothschild with us for the full hour. The Buckmaster Show is being broadcast from the Green Things and Socolow Village Studio here at KVOI. And, since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a lovely 13-acre site. It's also the home to Socolow Village and all of those fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art dealers. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and socolowvillage.com. We'll be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Just So we're back live. Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster and here for the full hour with former mayor of Tucson, Arizona, Jonathan Rothschild. And we're talking about a bunch of things about his experience both in and out of government positions. And I would like to say, first of all, thank you to the guy who makes this all happen for us, John Couch, in the control room, and also that the Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And just reminding people who may have a question for His Honor, 790-2040 here in Tucson. And if we can, we'll take your call. Coming back to the mayor, Mr. Mayor, one of the things you said early in the show is that you had gone to undergraduate in Ohio,
yeah,
and then law school in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're the mayor of a pretty large city,
yeah,
and you're rubbing elbows or maybe even shaking hands. We used to do that, I think,
yeah,
with some of the most powerful people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
How was that like? What was that like for you, and how is it different now?
Well, now, let's take those one at
yeah,
a time.
Really?
You know, it was a great honor to spend time with the then President Barack Obama and with Michelle Obama. I will tell you, I think Greg Stanton and I were out waiting to go in to see him, and we're out in the hallway or in front of the Oval Office, and we're joking and making light and kind of cutting up. And all of a sudden, somebody comes out and says, "The president will see you now."
That changes
and
things.
That sort of changes your attitude. You kind of, your back sort of sets up straight. So that those were really great times. We, you know, it really is being in the middle of things and getting to, I'm not sure how much influence, but at least be exposed to those different kind of things. One of the things that was really helpful was spending time with other mayors. And they have something like, you know, every organization, there's the United States Conference of Mayors, where all the mayors get together twice a year, once in D.C., right after they'll be meeting again soon, at the inauguration, and then in the third week of January when, you know, people come into office. And you spend time on the Hill lobbying. You know, I spent a lot of time with John McCain, which was really, you know, something that was really important, you know, and I learned a lot. But the mayors themselves, the first time you do that, the first thing you figure out is that all mayors in all cities are facing the same issues, and it's just a question of scope. You know, spent time with Michael Bloomberg, which was quite—
That must have been fun.
Oh, that was quite the experience, you know. And
it's probably safe to say these guys aren't shy.
No. In fact, when you go to a mayor's conference, not unlike the Democratic debates this year,
okay,
really, trying to get a word in edgewise, but still a lot of really bright people and a lot of really experienced people and a lot of people you learn from. And so when you learn that your problems and your things that you're doing well are very similar to what's going on in other places, it puts it in a new perspective for you. You know, so everybody in their own cities thinks their problems are the worst or their victories are the best, and they're not. We're really very similar. But it is helpful when you have a serious problem or you're just not feeling good about things to pick up the phone and call somebody who's been in that situation. Mayor Gallego up in Phoenix has called me on a couple occasions to talk about things. And, you know, presumably I had called Mayor Volge in the past, Mayor Walkup, Mayor Miller. And it's helpful to get that third party outside perspective.
Is there a degree of contentiousness between parties at these meetings,
or is
commonality the
issue? See, what's really interesting about mayors is that's the one level of government where there's a lot more commonality. Now, in the United States Conference of Mayors, there's a Democratic caucus and a Republican caucus,
sure,
but they don't. There's not fighting. The first of all, there's a lot more Democratic mayors in this country because it's cities.
Because it's cities, yeah. Right.
But at the same time, there's plenty of Republican mayors. And generally, of course, what's common is that oftentimes, regardless of where they're from, they're fighting with their state about things their state's trying to restrict them on.
Because the states are very often run by Republicans.
Or they're just, you know, the state thinks they're in control,
of course.
Right? And then, or, you know, you're lobbying the federal government because that's really, you know, when you can't get your money from the state government and all states are strapped across the country. So there's common interests that bring mayors together. And that was one of the fun things about it. It is a position that, where you're representing a community, you know, and so when you're in Washington and maybe you come home on the weekend, if you're in the state legislature, while you're in the legislature in Phoenix 4 out of 5 days a week, but when you're in your community, you go to the grocery store, you know, in your community, you're out taking a walk around the neighborhood and people recognize you because they've seen you, you know, on TV or whatever it is. And they think they know you, and nobody's shy about giving you their opinion. But that's kind of a neat thing.
Of course.
And that's kind of what makes government work.
But you know, from a personal perspective, all of a sudden, you know, you're thrown in with, again, some of the most powerful and famous people in the world. What's it like?
Well, I've never been awestruck by anybody. And quite frankly, I believe that, you know, and this is just a fundamental belief of mine, that you could go into the park and talk to the guy that's laying there on a blanket, and if you can get into a meaningful conversation, you might get as good an idea from that person as you will from, you know, the wealthiest man in the world. And that's just my personal belief, and that's been helpful. I mean, again, one of the fun things about being mayor was you could sit in a conference with, you know, 8 or 9 of the wealthiest people in Tucson, for whatever reason they came together. And then in 2 hours later, you're out visiting a homeless shelter and talking to people there. And that perspective, you know, is so unique and so rare. You know, you don't get paid much as mayor. You don't get paid much, you know. But I will tell you, some days it was like, you know, they're paying me to go out and have these experiences.
Doing things that you like to do.
Yeah, you have to like people. You have to love people. That's probably number one. Number two, you have to have a good sense of humor, or at least be able to keep your sense of humor. So you try not to be awestruck by people, and you try to talk to people like they're just regular folk, and that way you get a sense of what they're about too.
Sure. Know? We have a caller, Patricia, with a question about bringing business to Tucson for the former mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. Patricia, thanks for the call. What's your question?
Okay. Wall Street Journal this morning, main editorial featured Arizona and Prop 208, saying that if that passes, that is going to hamper businesses coming in to the state. I mean, the raises in taxes. It's made to look principally about education, but there are repercussions that could follow. I wondered if the mayor had any light he could shed on this.
Patricia, that's a great question. And what I'm going to do is thank you for the question and promise to let the mayor handle that question in our last segment. Because what we want to do in the last segment is talk about a couple of the propositions that are currently on the ballot and address those kinds of things. What I was hoping that your question would be more about was kind of what's it like to bring, you know, to bring business to Tucson and to be dealing with people that you're competing with all the time, you know, maybe for the same opportunities.
And I can almost answer, I mean, we can go a little more into 208 next segment, but I can almost answer the question at the same time, which is that when you're bringing businesses to a community or to a state, the businesses themselves are looking at all sorts of factors. But principally, and maybe it's because as mayor, they'd already just knew some of these things and they weren't the questions they were asking me. But the questions I always got were about what kind of workforce do you have? Okay, do you have a qualified workforce for what my business is and what's your education system like? Because when you're bringing a business and maybe you're bringing 500 employees or 300 employees, all of them, first of all, you want a good education system because that ties into whether you've got that qualified workforce. Second, you want that good education system because you're trying to bring your employees from elsewhere and you need to convince them that they're going to bring their children
good place to raise their kids
into a good education system. And finally, most of them have kids and they have those same questions. So that 208 is that tension, and we can talk about it in the next segment, about how do we get that education system we want that can bring in the business versus is this going to be a deterrent to business?
Sure. And let's do that in the last segment. I think that's a really important topic. And it's just so clear that what appears simple in some cases is very complex in others. And maybe what appears complex, like, for instance, the competing interests of various cities, can simply be worked through because you can think about what's a win for everybody involved.
Mayor Stanton, who's now Congressperson Stanton, and myself were very close in many ways, but God dang it always pissed me off when he got the business and I did it.
Sure. So this segment of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Mona's Danish Bakery on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and it's home to the Danish Kringle. Mona's is open for breakfast, lunch, and indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickup are both welcome. Mona's is open Monday to Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 7 to 2. We'll see you at Mona's. It's my favorite commercial to read because Mona's is just such fun and so good to be at. We'll take a break and be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen.
Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
So this is Shelley Fishman back live in the studio with Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. And in the time remaining, we are going to deal with some of the questions that have come up earlier, some from callers, with His Honor the Mayor. And the prior caller was talking about Prop 208. And I know you'd also like to talk about Prop 481. So are these the things you're really interested in right now? And
that I'm doing right now is helping with Pima College's initiative to increase their expenditure limitation. It's known as Prop 481, but this one really is mom and apple pie. Basically, expenditure limitations were set by the state in 1979, so you have to use 1979 costs. You can go to your voters and get that increase. Pima's never done that in 40 years. So as a result, our community college has the least amount of money to spend per student, about $3,000 less than the median. By changing this formula to just what the median cost is now, there'll be that additional $3,000 per student, $11 million per year. Now, the good news, it reads on the ballot, $11 million per year. The good news is when you don't change your expenditure limitation in 41 years, the county tax base has grown so much that you don't have to increase taxes at all. That money is actually already there, but the college can't spend it on student services. They can only spend it on buildings and taking on debt. And they've done some of that. They've built some buildings, but unless you can put students in them and put good teachers in them and the good technology, that doesn't work very well. So this is more money for student services with no tax increase. And that's really important. And it's going to things we were talking about, business development, economic development, and workforce. 500 more healthcare workers for this community every year. Auto mechanics who can work on 2020 engines. Money for IT and cybersecurity and CAD teaching. And money towards that traditional liberal arts, moving students who start at Pima onto the U of A in those four-year institutions.
So you actually answered the question I was going to ask you, which is, do people understand how important a community college is to the community?
I hope so. The business community has responded really well to this. I was actually very surprised by their generosity so that we could get out mailers, so we could have a digital campaign, so we could have walk cards, get out the signs. But in this election, getting through that noise when you're at the bottom of the ballot, and what I want to say is turn over your ballot.
Turn over the ballot, really?
Yeah, ours was bottom of the ballot, but then we got our ballots. Turn over the ballot, and that applies to 207, 208, and 481. So turn over your ballot, get to the bottom of the ballot, vote yes on 481, because the community college is the pipeline for our workforce and for getting young people from high school to that four-year college.
That is so important, because the difference in cost between taking 2 years at a community college and then having those credits carry over to a four-year college is maybe the difference between a reasonable amount of debt and an unreasonable amount of debt.
Yeah, and one of the things that's been really surprising to me is I'd call these business owners looking for a contribution for the campaign. I'd say, I bet you if you checked, so many of your workers started at Pima. And almost invariably, they say, what do you mean my workers? I started at Pima.
Right.
And so it really is important to the community.
Mr. Mayor, talk about Prop 208.
Yeah, so, look, here's the situation. Arizona is the 48th, 49th, 50th in per pupil spending in the United States. It is very
for students.
Yeah, for students. Yeah, it is very difficult to grow an economy and attract businesses when you're in that situation. People have asked the legislature for years to come up with a solution, and they haven't. Governor Ducey made some efforts, but we're still at close to the bottom, and so. This proposition's on the ballot, says that if you make over $250,000 as a single filer or $500,000 as a joint filer, you're going to pay essentially an excise tax of 4%. I believe that's the number. I could be wrong on that. The other side, and it will bring in X amount of dollars, and we can put that and really help our education system. The other side says that tax isn't a 4% tax. It's like a 70% tax, and folks are going to leave the state. And there are those who believe that has happened. I will tell you that in the experiences that I've looked at, for instance, when you raise minimum wage, you get the same conversation. People don't leave the state.
Just to sum up, because we're running out of time, in your view, fixing the education system in the state and certainly in Tucson is essential to our success.
It really is. And so people have to make that decision, but I think you're going to see people support this mainly because they're frustrated over the fact that other action hasn't been taken.
I thank you for the opinion. I thank you for spending the whole hour with me today.
Goes fast.
I've learned a lot. It does go fast. It always does. This is Shelley Fishman thanking the mayor for being here for the hour and for the opportunity to sit in for Bill Buckmaster here at KVOI. Wish everybody a great day and a great rest of the week.